Great to have you with us on this Thursday, the 19th day of May. A little chilly out there. Weather update for Powercore. City Power upgrades continuing to provide reliable power supply. 9 degrees. Colder here, I tell you right now. 15 for a top in Melbourne. Some rain coming down.
What are your kangaroobies doing this morning? Are they running around or bouncing around outside yet or not?
I haven't seen any yet.
Too dark for you to see them?
No, it's light now, but I haven't seen any. What about the love for Johnny? God, I love Johnny.
I wish he'd shift closer to town, though. I'm not sure that he will. It's a long way.
I'm damn certain he won't.
It's a long way out there to Epping. He's got a great little spread, hasn't he? Like he's set up out there. Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
State of the art veggie patch.
Yes, his house is woodshed. His house is purpose built. He's got the kitchen underneath, and then he's got the storage underneath that part of the house.
He's got his sports room.
He's got his big sports room, and he's got his exercise machine in his sports room. It's like a shrine to the North Melbourne Football Club. He's got a great setup, but I just wish he was a little bit closer because we would see him more often if that was the case.
And someone says that was one of his best performances. A very clean delivery today.
Very clean. Well, he had a warm-up yesterday with Duane. That's why.
That's what I was going to say.
Hey, there's a lot of different things going on out there at the moment that we probably could or should talk about. Let's just clear this up, though, first, because John Longmire, he was always going to face the media at some stage this week. He does one media conference a week. He was going to get asked the question, obviously, about Luke Park, and he's going to get the obvious question about Dustin Martin and their potential interest in him as well. But this is him talking about that taunt from Luke Parker directed at Dylan Shill.
We touched on it as part of his game review, but that's only part of a general discussion, and we didn't talk about it for too long at all. So in the end, you know, Luke's record stands for itself. He's a wonderful servant of our footy club and the game. He plays the game in the right way, and that's the way he'll continue to play.
Johnny was always going to defend his player, right? He was always going to do that. But do you think that he would have had a discussion with Luke Parker? A quiet, private discussion about it? Yeah.
He said he did as part of the review of his game, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now,
and
I don't know,
told him to tone it down a bit, do you think, or not?
I don't reckon you tell Luke Parker anything, really. I think he probably just would have said, the way I would handle it, I said, in hindsight, what do you think of it? Mm. And if Luke Parker says, I bloody loved it and I'll do it again, and then you go, all right, that's up to you. But I reckon you just ask and see, you know, whether in hindsight you might have maybe only did one or two little, five or six, I thought was a little bit too much. He was also asked about Dusty Martin, and I absolutely believe him on this. He shot it straight down.
I read what Dimmer said. We haven't spoken about him, so I'm not sure where that leaves us, other than the fact that we haven't spoken about it. You know, it's not something that that we've discussed, so I'm not sure where that leaves us.
Yeah, so
leaves you right there. That's where it leaves you.
As we thought yesterday, that the question was asked and Dimmer's spitballing and just says, you know, this is what happens, and then we all go nuts in the media. Oh, is there something going on here? And by the time it gets up to Sydney, a very bemused-looking horse goes, we've never spoken about it.
Can you imagine? Also, they're talking about what? Are they still talking about that? It's Wednesday. They're still talking about that Luke Parker incident down there.
Exactly.
Goodness me, what's going on? Have they got nothing else to talk about? But Barmy also, he was talking about Dustin Martin. Obviously, every Richmond person is going to get asked a question about Dustin Martin and where it's all at and the potential for him to depart the club. This is what Barmy had to say.
Really, our position. Our position is he's contracted and we'd love him to stay and we hope he does and we think he will. But the truth is, if someone like Dusty, who we respect so much as an individual, came to Damien and said, there's all of these things happening in my life and I need to go to Sydney, well, we'd have to listen to him. And that's really what he said. We listened to him.
That's the pragmatic Neil Baum.
Pragmatic, great word. While we're on it, Tiger Day says, Gary, you laugh when Noah Bolter was subbed off thinking it was some kind of ruse. Well, he's out for 6 weeks. Happy now? That's Tiger Dave. We laughed at Noah Bolter because he stuck his tongue out at the camera, Tiger Dave. So that's the humour in it all. And then we quickly saw that he had an ice pack on his hamstring. And that is bad news for the... for the Tigers. Righto, the Bombers continue to be have drama surround them. They've been in the news for most of the year. They've dominated the news cycle early this week with the on-field. and the associated dramas with that. Now there's some off-field drama. Unrest over the extension of Xavier Campbell's role. That's primarily coming from Robert Shaw. He's saying an independent external review should have been in place before the reappointment. Too much business, not enough football emphasis. And then Nova Peris has resigned from the Long Walk Foundation over a disrespect she says is shown to her by Xavier. I read the article, dispute over a payment about transferring Nova...
A statue.
I obviously know nothing about any of this. I don't know if you know anything about any of it, but it's not great to see your club in the news for the wrong reasons.
No, not at all. And this is generally what happens when a club underperforms. Every part of the club and every bit of behaviour about anyone associated with the club is examined and stories are written about what's going on. I would just like to say this, Gary. Where was all this discussion at the end of last season? Where were everybody now that was yelling for a review that needed to be done? Where were they at the end of last season when Essendon finished where they did? Okay, now, they made the finals. They got turfed out in the first week of the finals. Essendon's problem, I'm going to go over this again. I know I've said this many times. Essendon's problem right now is that they display an inconsistent brand of football. Their effort is inconsistent to win the ball. They can't move the ball freely when they have the ball, and they can't defend the ball when the they can't defend the ground when the opposition has the ball. Right now, I don't think they need a review into any other part of their football club other than the coaching department and the players, and find out why they are getting that part of the game so wrong. Am I completely misreading the situation? You can talk about all the other stuff, right? When Paul Brasher came to the club, he conducted a rigorous review.
Yes.
Okay. Rigorous review. And he interviewed everybody around the club and inside the club, and he did it personally, and you know, everybody's spoken about that in the past, about the conversations they may have had, and they looked at every component of the club. Okay. Let's give them a little bit of time to fix this. But right now, as I see it, my view of this is that it is an on-field problem about the way they play, and the people at the club who are given that responsibility to fix it are the coaches and the players, and they're the ones that can do something about this.
So Robert Shaw, I'm quoting directly, he says, there's been an external review at Carlton, which resulted in great results. There's been an internal review at Melbourne, which resulted in the ultimate result. And he speaks about appointments that were made since then. Shaw said there'd been too much emphasis on business and not enough on football at Essendon. Our core business is football. We've become the Essendon Football Bank or the Essendon Commercial Entity. Not enough on the footy. Now, the interesting part that was put to him was your frustration due to the fact that you were overlooked when you put your hand up to assist the club. He said it came from the... And he denied that. He said you've got to take people on the journey.
That's right. That's true. And, I would think there are people who do think that. And, you know, Robert is one of them. And, he's a great Essendon man. He started his career there, loves the football club, like really connected to the football club. And there are a lot of people out there frustrated. But the frustration needs to be directed, I believe, right now in the way they're playing. Clubs review themselves all the time.
That's right.
You know, and
that's
you're right. Quite right about, you know, Melbourne and other clubs and Richmond and, you know, like before Richmond won the flag, you know, like everybody was ripping into the club and every component of the club and everything was wrong at that time. The following year they go out and they win a flag. I'm not saying Essendon's going to do that, but when a club is underperforming, every part of it is examined forensically, and that's what's taking place at Essendon now. But for me, the part that they can fix and they should be fixing is what is taking place on field. And that is the responsibility of the coaching group.
Yep. And in terms of the other stuff, I know nothing about, and I know you just have said you don't know that. The thing at the end of this story, Michael Long says, and Michael Long's pivotal to the whole situation. He and Nova Peris have got great relationships. Long hadn't read Peris's email, but said the Long Walk Foundation had always had the great support of Xavier Campbell. So there's a man who's at the coalface of it, you know, saying that Xavier supported him enormously. So clearly there's an issue between Nova and Xavier. And that's the genesis of this big story.
Yep, it is. And the other part was that Heredia Lumumba, he released some more tape audio yesterday of a conversation that he secretly recorded between himself and Nathan Buckley. Just a couple of points. But it didn't... What he was trying to do is put context around what he was saying in terms of he was forced out of the club. This is the the bottom line is he was forced out of the club. They gave him no reason at that time. They made it look like it was a decision on his behalf to get out of the club. He keeps maintaining the view that he was forced out of the club because he was questioning their culture at that time.
Mm. Well, again, you can talk to both parties if you've got access to Heredia and you can listen to the tapes, and that's one part of it. The whole context, then Nathan Buckley would turn around and say, give the whole context of that, play the whole tape so we can get a better understanding. He says that's the final, his final missive that he's putting out there. So where it goes from there is beyond me. I don't know where the resolution comes, but...
Well, the resolution really goes back to Collingwood, though, doesn't it, with the do better... You know, report and investigation, all the things that they're looking at now and their self-examination of their football club and where they've been.
But also that whether they can get together with Heredia and put an end to it all, where right now Heredia is saying he's not meeting with the Collingwood people who are running the running the system.
Yeah. So they will continue on that with that without him, though. I was interested, there's a headline here that I read this morning, better off kicking a point, and I'm thinking, what the hell is that discussion about? I don't know whether you saw Kingy on 360 last night, but he had some stats along the line. The biggest problem in the game right now is that sides can't move the ball after a kick-in. And this is what he's saying, is that we're making it so hard that teams can't score now. AFL averages teams scoring off every 13 kick-in. So when you're kicking the ball in, twice as likely to concede a score as kickers score. So we've changed, we've made some modifications to the game and some adjustments to the way the game is, and you can get extra length on the kick by running beyond the marker when you do the kick-in, that type of thing. What Kingy is saying right now, with the statistics that they have available to them, the sample size they have available to them now, it's more difficult than it's ever been to move the ball from one end of the ground to the other end of the ground to get a score.
What's your eye tell you?
My eye tells me that the game has opened up a hell of a lot and it's become easier to score. Specifically, though, I hadn't identified that part of the ground as being the most difficult to score from.
Well, my eye tells me that the ball moves better. It does move better. Yep. Now, whether that's then... it's not being reflected, according to, I didn't see last night, being reflected to the numbers. But when you only had the goal square to kick in from, it got a hell of a lot more stuck in the back half from where I was seeing. Now, maybe the problem then lies in the ability to convert opportunities. And, the kicking and the forward structure and the craft and the ability of the forward to get off their man, maybe it goes beyond just the kick in.
But to every action, there's a reaction, isn't there? So now teams have had time now to examine what it is they do when they set up to defend the kick-in. Sure. And so tactics have been applied and strategies have been applied that maybe they weren't last season. And it has become far more difficult for sides. And maybe they've pulled back their zone and they're protecting the fatter part of the ground and making it more difficult for that ball movement to take place. I mean, clearly that's the case. I mean, even Melbourne and St Kilda, two of the better sides last year in moving the ball from that one end of the ground to the other, are finding it more difficult this year as well.
Do you know how many games you played in a row?
In a row? No, I don't specifically, but you do?
No, I wouldn't.
Who are we talking about?
Jack Crisp is played 100. He's the current consecutive games holder, 172 games in a row. He's got the flu. He's crook, that's gone right through the Collingwood Footy Club. So he's in some sort of doubt for the weekend. He hasn't missed since 2014. Jimmy's 244 one of the more underrated records in footy?
It's extraordinary. It is extraordinary.
Just have a think about that while we take a break, because time just gets away from us. We'll take a break. Make the call, switch to Koga Mobile. Melbourne Airport parking, nothing beats $12 a day parking in Melbourne Airport. Some of the more underrated things that we talk about, we acknowledge, but when you really stop to think about it, just blows your mind. 244 in a row. Have a chat about it after this. It is indeed. Great to have you with us. Very, very nice conversations at the moment. Sometimes you get distracted, Wisp.
You do?
Sometimes you get distracted. Round 18, 1987, the great Jimmer started the run, and it finished, I think it finished, when did it, round 1998, or it was early in 1998. So over 11 years.
That is extraordinary. That is absolutely extraordinary. And he must have just dragged himself to the line on a number of occasions as well.
Kingy also tells me here, and he'll be on tomorrow with Corn, the Corn and King show.
Yep.
Melbourne have scored 3 goals from 82 kick-ins.
Mm.
That's pretty damn dramatic, isn't it?
It is. It is dramatic.
I'll tell you what's dramatic.
What?
I've lost my whole screen.
Have you? Well, don't worry about that for 1 second, because I'm going
to
ask
worry about it. I'm running the show here. I've got nothing.
All right, just throw it over to the Wisp. I'll take control. Right. I'll take the reins. Tom Brown reported last night on our news that James Hird does want to coach. Okay. Now, there'd been some speculation about whether or not he did or he didn't, or what he was going to do, what he wanted to do. I believe that the story is absolutely 100% correct that he does want to coach. Ooh, in your mind, what would he need to do to satisfy a potential club out there that they would then be confident enough to appoint him, given that he's been out of the game for this period of time?
Yes, I'm absolutely going to answer that question, but just let me just backtrack. So you're saying 100% on the money that James Hird wants to coach AFL footy again?
That's what I am hearing, yes.
Wow. Don't bury the lead.
Which means, which adds weight to what he's doing at the Giants, because he was there just in a leadership advisory type role, conducting a leadership program up there. That's going to be extended into some part-time assistant coaching now with Mark McVay and also Dean Solomon. Now I'm looking at something. Okay, well, he's getting some experience again at the coalface of coaching, like in terms of, because the game moves all the time and he needs to pick up the speed of what's taking place and the changes that have been implemented over the time that he hasn't been involved in the game. What do you, if you were a club and he's out there and he applies for one of these jobs at the end of the year that may be available, what would you need to be satisfied about him to look at him as a serious candidate?
Time back in the system. Time, genuine, legitimate, get your hands dirty, do the hard yards, time back in the system. Immersed up to your neck in the system again. Not helping out a mate, Mark McVay, not part-time dabbling in a leadership, which is all great for Hurdy and great for the Giants. Not doing a few weeks and then going to London, for business, which we've just come back from, I believe. So all that is great in terms of putting the tentative or taking a tentative step back to where he wants to go. But if what you're telling me is true, then I would imagine clubs need to say, okay, show us, immerse yourself, put everything else aside and then commit to the notion that you are 1,000% going down this path of wanting to be a senior coach again. So it might be a year, it might be 2 years, it might be 3 years back in the system.
So it would need to, you're talking really just then about the commitment to the actual
assistant coach,
being a coach,
Yeah, 100%.
And doing the hard 100%. Yards like we've seen a lot, like Michael Voss, leaves the Brisbane Lions and goes back into the system and goes through the slog of being an assistant.
Great example, Tim. He stayed in the system. He took his licks, learnt, what he had done wrong, if you speak to Michael about this, learnt his failings, if you like, from a Lions point of view, and then went and just became a committed full-time assistant coach to Ken Hinckley and everything that comes with that.
Would it impress you? Would his CV impress you knowing that, okay, he was a great player, he coached for a period of time at Essendon, and then the experiences, the life experiences that he's been subjected to through this period of time when he hasn't been involved in AFL football, in business, what he went through personally with the whole Essendon saga, and then where he's been, the fact that he travels around the world, obviously takes note of what's going on. He's immersed himself in all those sorts of things. Yeah. Do they add significantly to his CV at all in your mind?
Yeah, they do. It fills out his CV, but he's behind an Adam Uzay, for instance, in my eyes right now. Now, his standing in the game and his persona and aura and all those things give him a leg up, give him a head start. There's no question about that. And having been a senior coach, but he's been away, he's been out of it. Whereas Anuze or any of the other, the Adam Kingsleys of the world, they've been immersed at the absolute coalface.
Okay, so those guys have been immersed at the coalface and the tactical part of the game and the strategic part of the game and the day-to-day activities, that type of thing. That's one thing. But you and I have spoken about this many times, about capturing the hearts and the minds of the players and managing people. Yep. Maybe he's much better position now than he's ever been in his life to be able to do that and then bring other people in to do the strategy side of it or the tactical side of it, which you'll pick up quickly because he's intelligent.
I think that's all reasonable, but I think he has to prove that he can then lead a club again. And you know, whatever you think of what happened at Essendon and all those sorts of things, that's still to be proved that he has, A, learnt from it. There's a humility that comes with it, which is what I think what I'm most impressed about with Michael Voss. The humility of having tried and failed, but then going back to work and coming back. So you'd want to see that from Hurdy. And then, all the qualities that made him the great player, and the coach, then give him a good chance. Give him a really good chance of doing it again. But you wouldn't be doing it just here. You're our man, come straight in and let's go. I think you'd want to see it first, my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Do you think that... Do you think it's beyond the realms of possibility then that he's an AFL coach next year?
Yep. I do, yes. I do. And I think the way footy's gone, it would be a very, very brave, very brave club to turn around and appoint James as a senior AFL coach next year on the back of, a couple of leadership. And that's my understanding of what he's doing at Giants. He may be doing more, but, leadership and a second half of the year support to Mark McVay.
And maybe the AFL were listening to you the other day when you talked about sprucing up the season and making it a little bit more interesting than what we currently have, because there's the idea that, there's a suggestion that they're exploring the idea of an All-Stars Indigenous game for the off-season to be played.
We need more occasions. As an AFL code, we need more occasions.
You'd support that 100%?
Yeah, and you put up on your news a forward line of Buddy, Shea Bolton.
How exciting.
I can remember.
Motlop was there too, wasn't he? Young Motlop?
Well, as a young kid, you're throwing that in. But then you go, Stephen May in the back half. I mean, how good would that be?
It'd be an unbelievable team. And they would play against a team. So it might be the premiership team of the previous year.
No, I'd play them against an all-star team.
Okay.
Yeah. Do the Aboriginal Indigenous all-star team against an all-Australian team or the best of the rest.
Where would you fixture that? Pre-season? Or would you make a weekend of it?
Included three or four NAB games, the pre-season games or whatever they're called these days. We've got to make more occasions, Wisp. We've got to spruce our game up, That's why the Twilight Grand Final, I think that's a fait accompli.
How many discussions have you and Richard Gorder had about this?
Can't go into that right now, Tim. Callum Mills to join us.
I know they're confidential.
Underrated stories still to come. The Rangers and Frankfurt in the Europa League. We're deep into time on. Is that still the case, deep into time on?
I believe
still one all.